me through that mistake.
Not the victim to her ever changing face.
My life is bloody folded to her arms again. Like a dinner way to make her pay.
Hey, can you hear us now? We're back. Bangin' Beers Podcast, episode 135. This is the beautiful thing of, trying to host and control all the boards and make sure everything's working properly. Sometimes you have some slip-ups. So we just deleted that episode, restarted over. Live chat is open. Come hang out with us. Let us know what you're drinking, what you're doing on this Sunday. It's Halloween. Are you handing candy out? Are you dressing up? Let us know. We want to thank our sponsors before we start anything. Abaddon Tattoo Studio, a unique professional experience in Pine Grove, Pennsylvania, and also Pottsville, Pennsylvania. They provide high-quality tattoos, piercings in a relaxed, professional, and sterile environment. This episode and network is powered by Poddex. Poddex is unique interview questions and episode starting prompts in the palm of your hand. So whether you're new to podcasting or an existing broadcaster looking to grow your audience or get more engagement, you're going to want to check out poddex.com. Use code IWEP Network for 10% off your first order. And the Tree of Life Metaphysical Shop. So if you notice on the table, we have the chakras going up. We got, if you're here in studio, there's banners over our head. We have a lot of cool things. So they've been really, really kind to us and awesome people. We have some cool episodes coming out showcasing the Tree of Life Metaphysical Shop. The newest one is the Ringtown Witch. So if you want to check out that and the other ones coming up, head over to Truth Behind Illusion Podcast. But they are dedicated to providing quality metaphysical and holistic goodies to you. Not only do they have an online presence, but there's a brick and mortar store located in Ringtown, Pennsylvania. They have something for everyone, so stop in, shop online, and see what you can find. Come grow with us. So check them out. All of our sponsors, everything like that, is located on the IWEPnetwork.com website. Links to every show on the network is on there. Leave us a review. If you are listening to this later on audio, feedback is super important. Word of mouth helps us grow so much. So if you are, take a screenshot of your phone, because this is what I have. This is something I'm learning from a guest that's coming on Tornado Tag, Chris Van Fleet. I think it's very smart to have your audience try this, but I listen to my phone and I'm like, man, I didn't show any love or support. I listened, but I didn't really show any love or support because I was listening in my car. I was at work. Just take a screenshot of your phone of the screen that you're listening to. And then later on be like, hey, listen to this episode. Everyone go check it out. I thought it was really good. So try that out. We'll take a screenshot and see what you like. Also, we have our Patreon. So we have $1, our $5, or it's open for whatever you want to do. It's just general support to help us grow, help pay some bills, get some better equipment. And as I said that, it's not loading. There it goes. So we have a few new members. So Kelly, who just joined the network, she's getting a plug out there for her business, Crystal Mountain Healing. Thank you, Kelly, for the support. Tommy Borsrath, Tree of Life Metaphysical Shop, Higher Than Other Words Podcast, Jay Hoare, and Austin Blackwell. Thank you all for your support. Also, with the IWEP Network, we do have on the website review tab. So if you leave us a review or read some reviews out, if you just leave a comment, we'll put them up in the chat. If you're watching live, we have some fun stuff we're going to talk about today. We have two brews, whatever you want to call them, from Drunken Rabbit. I said Drunken Monkey last time. That's a plug for Minersville. Is that still a thing?
No, that was in Ashland.
Oh, Ashland, Drunken yeah. Monkey. Good call. And Brew Hop, which is beers that we'll explain a little bit later how we got them. Heidi's joining us today. People are like, is she drinking beer now? She loves it. Spoiler, she doesn't. But we wanted to turn this into like kind of like a crossbreed between pop culture and beer. So it's not always going to be just about the beer. We're going to talk about some stuff in between, get to know each other. You get to know us as an audience. And then we have the beers while we're doing it. So today we're going to be talking about horror movies, what we've been recently watching, as well as some of our favorite horror movies of all time. So once again, if you're in the chat watching, comment your favorite horror movies or what you're into right now, because it is Halloween. It's going to get spooky. Bob, read off our first beer here so I can stop talking and drink.
All right. This is Oktoberfest from the Drunken Rabbit Brewing Company of South Hadley, Massachusetts. It's a Marzen. It comes in at 6% ABV. It's been logged in a total of 60 times. Prost. It's that time of year for Festa, and all across Europe, festivals are in full effect. What better time to release our tribute to Oktoberfest, the festival of festivals?
Yeah, and this is a 6%. Oh, you already said all that stuff. Sorry. I will say this. This is fucking good.
and it's good.
This is probably one of my favorite Oktoberfests I've ever had.
And the flavor profile is toasty, malty, caramelly, smooth, and sweetness.
Now, all right, Heidi, the person who hates beer, what did you get anything out of that?
Beer.
Just tastes like beer.
Yeah.
All right. I get all that DeRosti and the caramel. Like, yep, it's
and the sweet.
The sweet. That's really, really good.
Yeah. I don't know. It just tastes like beer.
We're going to make you a man.
I mean, maybe Rocky a little bit of caramel, like at the end, but.
That's fantastic. I'll tell you what, Brew Daddy is still one that I think, for me, Oktoberfest wise, is up there, but this is really good. I'm not protecting the four at all in this one. Yeah, that's really, really good. Jungle Monkey, fantastic Oktoberfest. Now, where did you...
Drunken Rabbit,
sorry. Monkeys, rabbits, bears, oh my. Bob, where did you acquire these beers that we're having on this episode? And
So these are vacation beers again. Mm-hmm. Both of these actually are from Stops on Day 2. These are both from Massachusetts. The Drunken Rabbit Brewery was our second stop of the day in South Hadley. I think I did a flight and two full pours there. A great place. Everything there was fantastic. The staff was really nice. They have a little bit of merchandise. If you're into the t-shirts and the hats and the stickers,
you know me.
I had a great time there. Go back any chance I have.
Now we have to, we do have a, we want to do like a group trip one day. It could be the network, but definitely TBI to Boston to go to like Salem and all that stuff. I wonder how many breweries are in Salem. It'd be interesting to know. Or like around Salem. So we can go get lit up and then go get spooky. Lower our veil even more if you would say. So that's really, really good. So let's get on our first little topic here, the movies. So we'll start with ladies first.
Oh, no.
You know, Heidi, what if you had to say, sorry, I was in a bar. We were in a bar last night. There was a cover band where it was like, but it was like a smoking bar where everyone can smoke cigarettes. And my nose is killing
me. I'm a mess.
I feel like I'm talking very nasally. So if I sound stupid, I'm sorry. Yeah. Nothing that a little beer can't fix, but
some water.
What are some of your favorite, let's start number one. We'll start number one backwards. Like, it doesn't have to be in a certain order, but something just really pops to your head. Favorite horror movie of all time?
Scream.
Scream.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would agree with
that's
that.
That's my favorite movie. Yeah.
Movie?
Yeah.
All time, all genres, favorite movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then Halloween, you can't not watch
it. Beats
Halloween.
Ferris Bueller for you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just learned something of my wife.
But then Halloween, you can't not watch it anymore.
I didn't ask for part two yet.
I don't care. I'm moving on.
Just comes in, hijacks the show. No, I would agree. Halloween is definitely, I think both Scream and Halloween both transcended horror movies after they were made. Because after both were made, everything after that tried to be that. Like Halloween was made and then everyone's like, all right, let's make more slashers. Let's do this. Let's try that. How can we recreate the monster character, like a universal monster, but make it like a slasher and it's attacking teenagers, but we'll slide some messaging in there or don't have sex or do drugs. And
yeah,
it had all that fun stuff. And then Scream was almost the same thing, except it turned into like that Saved by the Bell Dawson's Creek style with the slasher horror movie thing. And even those sitcoms kind of like, it was like, oh, high school kids, like it just went for that niche and everything tried to recreate it, even in the non-horror genre, like that sitcom style, like that age demographic to make stuff after was kind of because of Scream, which is kind of neat. Bill?
Probably Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
More specifically, probably Dream Warriors.
Dream.
Yes. I honestly think that's one of the best in the franchise.
It's a really fun one.
Yeah.
At that point, though, in Dream Warriors, you're not even afraid of Freddy anymore.
No, but it's just like the whole cast of characters. They aren't your normal like group of people that would be in a movie.
Isn't that the Nintendo Power Glove? Isn't
it's
that?
Like the Power Glove. Yeah, yeah. Like that really cool wheelchair that the kid's in.
Oh, yeah.
And like they're all fighting Freddy, but it's just like the way that they do it. It's not
super campy and fun.
And it's not your typical like group of kids against him at all. Like kids nerds. That, like nerds. They're
It'd be like if Not Cool in High School fought Freddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is a good one. I would have not ever expected you to say that's your favorite of all time.
Yeah, it's up. Yeah, it's up there. My list.
That's fun. Bob, favorite horror movie?
I kind of have a tie. Like we talked about the last time, the original Pet Sematary, I thought was very well done.
Yeah.
And that actually, like the ending scene, actually made the hair stand up on my arms. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to go old school, it was actually, probably no one else knows or remembers it, but it was actually a made for TV movie called Gargoyles. I want to say it was like maybe 1971 or 1972.
I feel like I've heard of it, but I don't think I've ever seen it.
It's a, if I remember right, the main character is a professor and it's his daughter, and they're traveling across the desert in the Southwest, and they stumble across like the last surviving colony of real gargoyles. And
I'm gonna type this in on IWDB, and I'm guaranteeing I'm getting like a cartoon first.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, I'm sure you will too. Yeah, this is way before it does. Other than the name,
Dan says he remembers the gargoyle movie. He said it was great. I'm gonna look it up right now. 1972. I'm gonna guess it's that one. Oh boy, these gargoyles look pretty dope.
Should add it to my list.
Yeah,
I started right last time you guys were talking. I was like writing them down. The ones
is this the cast here?
I'm gonna say probably, yeah.
All right, so yeah, this is let's see if I can find anything here. Yeah, the gargoyles look pretty sick. Look at them. That's pretty good for 72.
That's definitely it. Yep.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard to see on the screen. Yeah, that looks crazy. I'm trying to find like a write-up of it. It got a 6.1 out of 10 on IWTV. It says not terrible film, but pretty sure Cornell Wilde is a bit embarrassed to be in such a production. Where's the plot summary? Where are we at? It's there's no sex or nudity. You're good there. Violence and gore is mild. Profanity is none. Alcohol, drugs, alcohol, smoking, none. Boo. frightening, intense scenes, mild. The plot summary is an anthropologist and paleontologist and his daughter, while traveling through the Southwest United States, stumble upon a colony of living, breathing gargoyles. The tagline is, "They're coming for you." Barbara. No, no Barbara.
No Barbara in this one.
No Barbara. But yeah, I'm going to look that up. Actually, while I'm there, I should might as well just say, this is a beautiful thing about IMDb. It'll tell you how to watch it. So if you have the IMDb app, there's a lot, IWEP, IWTV. I have a lot going on in my life with those acronyms. You can watch it free. So if you have the app where you can research movies, they have a little streaming service.
Oh, that's cool.
And they put movies on. I think there's like ads in it. So every now and then you'll get an ad. But Gargoyles is free.
Google does that too sometimes though.
I don't mind it. Mm-mm. Yeah. But if you go watch that free. So if you're listening to this and you're like, holy shit, I love that movie. Or you're like, man, it sounds interesting. I want to check it out. There it is. That's how you can watch it. Look, I do the homework for you live on the air. What did Dan say here? The makeup was great for that time. And that's it. Yeah, he agrees. Awesome. That's a cool. See, I like this. This is where you drink beer. And it's like a high school lunch table, except with alcohol. And you're like,
where's the food?
Yeah. You have your snowballs. Just don't eat them on microphone, please.
Crunch, crunch, crunch.
I'm tough. I'm kind of with Heidi with Scream. It's one of my favorite horror movies of all time. Because it's a murder mystery. It's a horror movie. Okay. It's a slasher. It's a whodunit. It's got a great cast. Mm-hmm. There's humor in it. It's got great lines.
Murder mystery and whodunit, it goes out of genre, but you got to go with Clue.
Yeah.
Oh,
Clue's
yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah.
But I think if I had to pick, it's not so much horror, but more of a sci-fi supernatural and a musical, which is kind of crazy because I don't like musicals, but I make it a point to watch this movie every single year. I am a Rocky Horror Picture Show fan. Love it to death. I'll watch it all the time while Heidi was getting raked. That's what I called it. I was in the other room waiting, and I had the Rocky Horror Picture Show playlist playing on YouTube, and I was just sitting there on my phone listening to people were walking by like, what the hell's going on in there? And I'm just sitting there on my phone.
There's people dressed up like that last night.
Yeah it's a great movie. I think that's one of my favorites. But since you gave us two, what's another one, another horror movie you look forward to?
I don't know. I always just watch all the slashers. They're my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's crack this next beer open here. So this is going to be called Mule Kick once again from Drunken Rabbit, and this is a ginger beer.
So actually, this is a, I'll read the description, but just so you know ahead of time, this is ginger and pineapple, and if this sits out long enough to get warm, there's cayenne pepper in here as well, but you won't notice it until it gets warm. So,
all right. Bob, this has a not as bad, but this has a little bit of a blue frog smell going on.
I had a can of this already. I thought it was fantastic. I love this.
It has a little bit of that. Like,
and I left half the can sit out so it would get warm on purpose, and I like it even better when the pepper comes out.
It pours like a.
Is it like spicy or just like a pepper? Spicy.
But at first, it's just like the ginger burn.
Yeah.
But then once the pepper gets in, you know it's pepper.
Ooh.
I'm so happy you're trying beers. This is fun.
I don't like it.
So Mule Kick from Drunken Rabbit Brewing of South Hadley, Massachusetts. It's classified as a hard ginger beer. It comes in at 7%. It has been logged in 124 times and averages a 3.64. Mule Kick is a light, crisp ginger beer that does not use any gluten-based products in the process. It is easy drinking and not filling. Brewed with 300 pounds of fresh ginger and 250 pounds of pineapple pulp with a touch of cayenne pepper and a slight dose of lactose sugar to back sweeten and bring everything together. This can be enjoyed straight out of the can, on the rocks with a lime, and for a real Mule Kick feeling mixed with dark rum or vodka. In the world of mules, there are no rules. And the flavor profile is ginger, spicy, peppery, strong, and dry.
Yo, it kicks you like a mule.
So it definitely smells like ginger.
It smells like a fart to me.
Like ginger. Like you go to the sushi and they give you the ginger. That's exactly what it smells like.
I think it's fantastic. I love it.
So it kicks you. It has a kick to it. Now, they gave you the little, I mean, stuttering. Jesus Christmas. This is fucking...
right away, I get the ginger burn. And yeah. It's like as soon as you say, oh, ginger burn, then I can taste the pineapple.
Yeah.
And then, like they said, there's a bit of lactose in there. And then the sweet comes in. But like if we let this sit for 15 more minutes, I guarantee you, if you can't notice it already, you'll catch the pepper on the back.
Yeah,
I got it.
Yeah, I get it on the follow through.
It's different. Yeah. But I don't hate it.
No. I could see liking it over ice with the lime like they suggest in the...
So, this is a seltzer, right?
No, it's a ginger beer. The ginger beer is a real thing.
A style?
Yeah.
Because they did like there ain't no rule laws when you're... like they kind of did like a little White Claw reference. It does drink like a seltzer almost. It has that bubbly carbonated... Yeah.
I'd say it's within the family.
Yeah.
But it's a ginger beer.
I didn't really taste the pineapple though. But it was like all ginger and then the pepper at the end.
I had a burp, but like it stuck. It like glued itself to my sternum. That's an interesting. Did you even make a face with it?
I don't know.
Take a little another whip away.
I don't want
it. Take another whip with that.
It's not as bad as like the beer, like regular beer.
So you,
but it hits in the back, dude, like the pepper.
You like ginger though, don't you?
Not so much. Not like fresh ginger. Like the pepper gets you.
You can't talk after you drink it. It's like
it's very gingery. Like I don't taste the pineapple.
Your brain has to reset after you'd have a sip. You drink this and you try to have a conversation. You're like, just give me a second. I gotta get my life together. Holy fuck.
I don't think I could drink like a lot of that.
Yeah, I don't hate it, but it's definitely interesting. I don't know how to score it.
If I drank, like it would probably, like you said, on the ice with lime, like I feel like that would probably be best.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant. I love it.
Could you drink a pint of this?
Absolutely. I've already done it.
Oh, yeah. He's...
What about you, Bill?
Probably.
Really?
I probably could. Yeah. But like I said, over ice with. And just like,
this is a sipper.
Like to sip it.
Like
yeah.
Slow drinking it. I don't think I can just crack the can and drink out
of
it.
If someone were to chug this, you're a psycho. Oh my goodness.
Bob, did you chug it?
No, I didn't chug mine, but okay. But yeah, that's
it does taste something like you could just sip on and like
yeah,
hang out.
It's in that family, I guess, the ginger beer, and I just don't really know the style, but to me this is kind of like if you had like something on the rocks, how you were saying, yeah, and just slow burn it, or it's like that, it has a little bit of that seltzer style to it where it's very light and
or even use it in bubbly, like a Moscow Mule instead of just like a regular ginger beer, because it has the extra
on the after burp. I get the pepper and the ginger.
Well, that's I don't know how big a batch they make at a time, but I mean, they said there's 300 pounds of ginger in it.
Yeah, so it's definitely full ginger.
That's like
you
a can full
smell
me.
It, you can taste it.
That's almost me as ginger. 300 pounds. Oh, a little short, a little shy.
A lot.
It's huge. Dressed up as a ginger root. Swimming around in a vat.
See, that's another thing. Like, I might be more used to it too, because like at home Rosa makes fresh ginger tea all the time.
Oh, okay.
So I drink that on a regular basis.
Is it good? Yeah.
Yeah, like
berry
it.
Gingery, or
literally you wash the root, you chop it up, and you boil it in water.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had that. I've had like fresh, like if you get sushi, they always give you ginger. To, yeah. Like, and I don't really love it. It kind of just tastes like ginger, but like soapy.
Well, because I think they put it in vinegar or something too.
That makes sense.
It's not just like the fresh root.
Yeah.
All right. So I know you kind of touched on a little bit, Heidi, but when it comes to horror movies, you said you're more of the slasher fan, correct?
Mm-hmm.
If you had to pick another style of movie that's not slasher, what genre do you look for?
I don't know. Like, not really sci-fi as much. And I feel like the paranormal is like, it's good, but I feel like it's all the same. Even though slashers are all the same too. I don't know. I just like,
it's like the the slashers are all the same, but seem to be more fun.
Yeah. It's maybe like psychological or something, like thriller.
Now, would you consider like a Freddy, a Jason, or Michael Myers a slasher? But would you also categorize them in like almost like a monster movie too?
You can,
because there's an element to them that makes them.
You could, because they don't really die. So
yeah, there's like an element to them where they're more than just a human.
Yeah,
where like, I feel like Scream, they're human. Mm-hmm. That's a slasher. Like even like My Bloody Valentine. I mean, that really wasn't paranormal. It appears as he's paranormal. Spoiler alert, but it's not. Or those are kind of in that thing. But I think if I had to pick my next genre, it'd be like monster movies. I love monster movies. I like a creature. I like even, the bigger the monster, the better. If it's destroying a city, count me in. But yeah, I'm into the monster movies. I like to see the special effects and how a monster is created. Yeah, that'd be my genre. Bill, what about you?
Probably psychological.
Psychological?
Yeah.
What would be a movie that would fall into that category for you?
Probably like The Changeling. Like, I know that's kind of monster adjacent.
Like a Hereditary, like, would be like a psychological.
Like that kind of stuff there, too, where like...
Like Invasion stuff,
more,
too.
Yeah, like it's more in your head than
like
anything physical. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like a person... alone in a house and things are happening, but it might not be ghosts. It might just be some guy that lives inside the walls.
Or they're tripping on it.
Like just like knocking on the walls.
What was that one you watched?
Yeah.
What was that one you watched where it was a guy and he like rented an apartment out to a girl and he would like hide in the walls.
Resident.
Yeah.
It was Hillary Swank, I think.
That was kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like those ones are
I like those. Or like a Home Invasion, like Hush.
Hush is really good. What about you?
Purge movies.
I don't know. I was always really fond of the, like we said last week, the older monster movies. You know, the guy in the rubber suit Godzillas and stuff like that. They still hold a soft spot in my heart. I'm a big sci-fi fan, but anything that's well done is watchable. There's a lot of war movies.
There's a German movie, if you're into reading subtitles. It's called Dead Snow. It's like Evil Dead meets Nazi zombies.
Oh, you know what? I think I've seen that.
It was kind of cool.
Like they go out on a ski trip and they're out in the middle of nowhere in a cabin.
And they find these coins.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's fucking Nazi zombies awaken.
Yeah, and I didn't get to see the end of it, but I think I saw about 80% of that, and then I had to leave for something.
Have you ever seen, and this is kind of like a sci-fi slash horror comedy, have you ever seen Sharknado?
No. I know about it, but no, I haven't seen it.
I like those.
I like nine of them.
I think they made, yeah, they made there's several. So many. Of
them. The craziest one is like a plane is flying through a hurricane and the shark jumps out of the. Actually, that might be a Megalodon movie.
Is that like monster? Would you consider that monster? Because like I like those like cheesy ones like that. And yeah, what's the like the giant alligators and like anaconda
from the asylum,
dude? She's
that just clearly like take a movie that exists and change like a letter in the title
where it's like the big Zombie box Beaver. Office version comes out and they do like the spoof of it,
like immediately too.
Like they were shooting it the same weekend. Yeah. Like, what are you guys doing over there? I'm gonna copy your homework but change something.
Okay, let's change this into one. Hey.
There was one like that where it was almost the same movie, but I think the one that was the B version was better than the one that was put out in theaters. And it was the premise was people were doing an autopsy on a body that was like possessed or had this weird paranormal element to it. And the one that was promoted all over TV and all over the thing was the one, the girl from Pretty Little Liars.
Oh, Possession of Hannah Grace or
something. Yeah, that one was pushed all over TV. And then there was one that was went straight to Netflix where it was like a father and son.
Autopsy of Jane Doe.
That one was so good.
The other one was good too, but that one was definitely better.
Yeah, that was the Autopsy of Jane Doe was Emil Hirsch and...
I can't think of what his dad's name was. He's a pretty big name though too.
That's
real good.
It's like there's like three people in the whole movie.
Yeah.
And it's just so unnerving.
Yeah.
Like,
well, that's towards the end, like more spirits start showing up. But it was creepy as fuck. Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one. If you're looking for a horror movie, that was pretty that was on Netflix forever. I don't know if it's still
on
there.
Probably might Shudder. Be on Shudder or something now, I think.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, you're like, man, I want to dive back into horror movies tonight or sometime this week because, you know, Halloween got me in the spirit. I think Shudder's like $7 a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's awesome. Like, if you're into that B-rated stuff, that all that's there. They have old school stuff, black and white. They have a little bit of everything. They've got a service.
Instead of the Yule log for Christmas, there's like a Halloween one. Like a pumpkin or something. I can't remember.
The Ghoul Log.
The Ghoul Log. That's it.
Not like Call of Duty Ghoul Log.
No.
Ghoul.
G-H-O-U-L.
For me, like I always say, go back to monsters. One of my favorite movies of all time is, and I know Heather's not here to shit on me, so I'm going to get away with it. I love the zombie. I love zombies.
I do like zombies, yeah.
I think they're creepy. It plays into the human element, but like a human turned into a monster. The original Dawn of the Dead is my favorite, one of my favorites of all time. Love that movie. I always wanted to go to the mall. I went there. I got to the front doors, and it might as well have been the zombie apocalypse because it was closed. I couldn't
for go Easter.
The, it was for Easter. Easter. It was the zombie Jesus Day, and I couldn't go into the zombie mall to see it.
I do like zombie movies and like vampires and stuff like that.
All right, let's get our next one cracked here. Let's get into our spooky beer, the Bruja. Now, Bob, while you're pouring this, Bob, let us know where you found these.
So, again, this was another day two on the vacation stop. These were picked up in Massachusetts. We stopped at a place called the Rumble Seat Bar and Grill in Chicopee for lunch.
Chicopee? I'd buy a t-shirt from there. Welcome to Chicopee. It's a cool town name.
I had actually, these were on the can list. I'd never heard of the brewery before. They actually had three on the list, but the other one was sold out. So we got two.
All right.
I like how they spell it. That's pretty clever.
Yeah. So it's spelled like brew, B-R-E-W-J-A. Yeah.
Because the J in Spanish is the H sound.
Yes. Yeah. I first answered Bruja. And they're like, you're an idiot. I said, I'm sorry.
You're an idiot.
At work, when you say, I'm in a group chat, and a lot of people there are Spanish. And if you say something funny in the chat, they write J-A-J-A-J-A.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it cracks me up. Like, I love it. So then I see them later. I'm like, ja-ja-ja-ja-ja-ja. And they're like, you know, I'm like, yeah, I know. Or if they say, like, can you handle this email? All right, just C. I put a C, not a S-I. I'm really funny. Yeah. Anyway,
you think you are?
They probably hate me. So this is called the. Oh my goodness! This beer is everything for me. Did you see the name of this?
Yep.
You know where I'm going with this, right?
I'm pretty sure.
There's a wrestling move called the Spanish Fly, and it's really cool. So what they do is I get like my arm over your shoulder, and then you put your arm over my shoulder, and I do a backflip and you do a front flip. And it's fucking insane looking, especially it's done from a top rope. So this is a little bit of supernatural as well as pro wrestling. So this is the Bruja Superfly. I don't know what's in this yet, but I will already say this. It smells fantastic.
Spanish Fly, passion fruit mango from Bruja Brewing of Springfield, Massachusetts. They are actually calling this a New England Hazy IPA. It comes in at 5.9% ABV, and the description is pretty to the point. It just says brewed with mango and passion fruit. The flavor profile is mango, passion fruit, bright, citrusy, and aromatic.
Definitely smelled like the mango.
And the passion
and the fruit, yeah.
I think you might be into this.
I don't know.
It's really light body.
Okay, it's not terrible.
Oh my god, we're getting her.
You get like that beer at the end, though. You get that like beer hit at the end.
That's really light bodied. Best way to describe this is this would be whatever Massachusetts version of like Yingling Flight and Icy Eagle. Light Mango, kind of like from Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. It has that really light bodied icy light Yingling Flight. With the mango. So this is kind of like a Raging Eagle almost, but
I think it's got better passion fruit than mango.
Yeah, the passion fruit makes the mango not as sweet or tart, if that makes any sense. Like it balances it a lot better. But this is really, really good. I don't know if it's the residual smell of the last beer that I kind of was off-putting in my glass as well. Because when you cracked it and it was passing around, I smelled it and it smelled fantastic. And now in my glass, it kind of... Not a great smell, but it also could be from the last beer.
Yeah, I still smell the fruit, but
if you're watching Alon, comment. Let us know some of your favorite horror movies. Maybe we have not heard of it or something we can agree on or tell you you're terrible for your opinions. We'll have some fun. speaking of, I want to come back to you real quick, Bob. Nightmare on Elm Street. We watched the remake again the other day.
You mean Bill?
Bill. Yep. Bob, Bill.
Yep.
The double B's over here. Yeah. We watched the remake the other day, and I feel it. Obviously, I think people hate it because it's not Robert Englund, but as a movie, I don't think it's terrible.
It wasn't bad. It was just, I think the problem is a lot of the reboots, they try to lean too far into the backstory that most people already know, instead of just like kind of hitting the ground running.
Yeah.
Like just saying, if everyone knows this character, so let's just instead of telling the... Because that's like Rob Zombie's Halloween. Even he did the same thing.
Like
he went a little too much back instead of just saying, "You already know it's Michael Myers. Mm-hmm. You already know the story."
Yeah,
but he so like either make back, either though. make a whole entire movie about him as a kid, and end that movie with him killing his sister.
Yeah,
and then make the next movie be when he's older. Yeah, and comes back instead of splitting it like. Half and half.
Mm-hmm. Just I feel make like the he full... changed the backstory, though. It wasn't like, because in the first Halloween, definitely not like...
Like Andy always complains, he makes everything white trash.
Yeah,
white
trash. Right. Yeah, yeah.
like his answer to everything is...
Long hair, unwashed, white people.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Where, hey, like... let's just make this family white trash. And then it created this monster.
Yeah. I think with the Nightmare on Elm Street, and I do agree with you, that's what a lot of reboots and remakes try to do. But I think the cool thing about the Nightmare on Elm Street is the idea of Freddy in the original ones. You were cheering for him, right?
Yep.
And I think the reason why people like cheer for him, obviously, he's one of like what they kind of tried to make his character be was one of the most despicable things in human history. Like when you attack children, and they always said like, no, he's not what you think he is. He's just a child murderer.
Wasn't there a whole story with that, though? The reason why they changed it was because there was something like that actually
happened.
Something
actually happened around the same time the movie was going to come out. And they were like, no,
too soon.
Too soon. So we're going to get rid of that aspect and just make him attack children like harm them as for murder. Where the reboot, they're like, No.
Did this.
Freddy is a scumbag. But the way I personally like the way they did it, where they had you think the whole time, like, they killed an innocent man.
Yeah.
And then the kids were like, our parents are scumbags. And then you find out, boom, no, he 100% was into this. And it added another element where it's like, so like, for me, Freddy's a cool character. Robert Englund makes Freddy almost too likable. So he's like the leprechaun where halfway through the series, you're like, you're not even rooting against him anymore. Like, you don't want him to die. You're like, get him. fuck those dream warriors. Kill every one of them. Where this new Freddy, it's like, no, like, fuck that guy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know. It made it more, it made Freddy scary again.
I know a lot of people hate like remakes, but I don't know. I like them. I like to see like the different, like, views. I mean, obviously Rob Zombie, I didn't hate the first one, but
the second one went
that was
way too off the rail.
way too much. But like, I usually like the remakes. I like to see how like someone else's view is taking it and what they're gonna do with it. Like, I don't know, I don't hate them.
I didn't get the chance to watch it, but the Scream TV show,
I liked it.
Did they play into the movie series at all with that, or was it its own complete thing?
It's kind of its own thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Is there any horror movie remakes that you watched the original and then seen a remake of it and you're like, okay, I hated it or I liked it?
I'm usually not a big fan of remakes either.
I know, like, a big one from, like, I would say, like, that transcended from you as a child for, like, our generation. That was like Omen.
Yeah.
That's been redone a whole bunch.
I never saw the remake.
See, I don't mind remakes. I thought they were good.
I haven't seen the remake of
Pet Sematary.
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen the remake of Freddy. I haven't seen the reboot for
Amityville
Friday the 13th.
There's a reboot for Carrie.
Yeah.
Not long.
I didn't see that. A couple weeks ago, I saw Rabid, but I never saw the original. I thought the remake was pretty good, but again, I never saw the original, so I don't have anything to compare it to.
The remakes are fun. I like to experience them with modern day technology. And
Evil Dead was good.
Yeah.
Well, Evil Dead Part Two is just Part One with the special effects they wanted in Part One, but they thought it'd be funny just to name it Part Two. There's no continuation of a story.
The
remake. Yeah.
The Alvarez one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
I wanted more from that universe. We never got it. Video game's coming soon.
Yep. That looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's like a hide and seek style game.
And on that too, with remakes, there's also, I started a new listening to a podcast where they go through movie scripts that were never made.
Oh yeah.
And they did this whole month, they did all Halloween scripts that never made, and they did a one on Quentin Tarantino's treatment for, I think it was Halloween 6. That was gonna be Halloween 666. And it was Michael and the Man in Black going on a road trip on Route 66 and going to diners and eating, and Michael just murdering everybody. That was the idea of his movie. So it was,
I love,
like,
Tarantino, but I'm glad that wasn't,
like,
made.
So it was like a Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, but with Michael Myers just going and murdering people. But there was another
one. Just was at the bar store where the drugs kicked in.
Yep. There was another one though that sounded neat with there was supposed to be a Halloween verse, so Michael Myers versus Pinhead,
okay,
movie, where what happens is what's her face, Heather from Hellraiser,
it's been a long time,
the main girl from that, well, Michael shows up and it's her and Jamie Lloyd together in a like a group of survivors group, and Michael kills the girl from Hellraiser, and then Pinhead shows up and is all pissed off, so then he goes after Jamie Lloyd and takes her, and then Michael solves the lament configuration to go after Pinhead.
It's still better I still think it's better than Cult of Michael Myers.
Yep. But and then there was another one with Jamie Lloyd where she has her own blood at the hospital because Michael attacks her so often. So for blood transfusions, because
it's like, this is going on. This is going on. Come donate. We'll put it in the cooler.
But But the idea is that he's after her because she's cursed with the mark of the thorn and it's in her blood. Mm-hmm. So a nurse screws up and mixes her blood in with the rest of the blood. So then people get blood transfusions that need it. There's like six people that get it and they get her blood. So now the movie is Michael now, instead of just being after her, he has to murder these six other people.
Maybe that's what happened to Halloween Kills.
And they said that in the podcast, one guy goes, it would have been a great moment. They're like, so we know Michael never talks, but can you imagine him just being there, minding his business, and he feels all the blood going to everyone and just goes, fuck. Because now, instead of focusing on just murdering one more person to end the curse of the thorn, now there are seven other people that he has to murder.
Don't have any kids.
But yeah, that would have been Halloween Bad Blood. That one was going to be called.
Oh my God.
And like, the one girl that got it was like a cancer patient. The one guy was like obsessed with serial killers and had all this Michael memorabilia in his house. There was a guy that had OCD that got it, and they read the part of the script with him where like Michael's chasing him and he gets to like a room with tile and he can't walk on any of the cracks. So Michael's after him, and he's like slowly, like trying to walk on each individual tile and not touch cracks.
I think you're talking me into this movie.
And then he finds like a penny on the ground, and he has to stop and pick it up, and like it's just like everything
dumb.
Everything dumb is like making him go slower while he's
like
trying
Michael
to
goes
escape
to hit him
Michael.
And he ducks. He punches the mirror. He's like, no. Oh my God, I just want to see the first 20 minutes of that movie where they explain that she has to keep bringing blood into
the- here, I'm gonna need this next Halloween, so you might as well get it in here now.
Like the nurse is like, all right, new person, welcome to the job. This room is our blood room. This room is only reserved for this person because she gets hunted by her brother quite frequently, so we have a special room for her. I see I have something pulled up here. I see like all queued up.
Yeah, I got to backtrack. It took me too long to find out when you were talking about the Evil Dead.
Oh wow, yeah. Bruce Campbell reading it's a Bruce Campbell with Reading Rainbow, but he has a Necronomicon, book, yeah. He reads it on TBS.
That makes me think of Creepshow last season when they had the episode with Ted Raimi when it was like a public access show and he brought the Necronomicon on.
I've been watching a lot of on Netflix the movies Who Made Us.
Yep.
And there's a ton of horror movies on this one. Like this season, they dedicated to was all horror
and
sci-fi.
And they did all horror, sci-fi,
and Coming to America. Yeah, I remember that. It's like Halloween.
Yeah, I was like, oh, Halloween, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, Alien,
RoboCop,
Coming to America. Okay.
Eddie Murphy was the funny part of Coming to America is Eddie Murphy was just giving away the props, and they're like, "You're gonna bankrupt us!" Like, you know, the scene where they had all the Louis Vuitton cases, Eddie would just show up at his posse and be like, "You guys want those? Take them!" And they're like, "That's our props." Like everyone had like Rolexes.
They just did the new one, right? That just came out.
I haven't seen it yet.
Neither. I didn't. Wesley Snipes is in it.
Yeah, and they said that Eddie had such a good time playing like the white Jewish guy in college. He's like, as soon as they put the makeup on, he just wouldn't shut up, and he just stayed in character the whole time. I thought it was really funny. Good movie, but yeah, that was the new season. Is a lot of horror movie, sci-fi, and then Coming to America. It's really funny. Learned a lot about my Halloween that I didn't know about. Learned a lot about Alien that I didn't know about. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, let's get our last beer here cracked open and let's wrap this up. You gotta go to volleyball soon.
Yeah.
Dan, if you're still watching, you want to join us for the next episode? It won't be live. We're gonna post record it. You can start leaving your house now and shoot over.
Is he still there?
Who else? I don't know who's watching. Well, people watch, but they don't comment, which is fine.
There's two people.
Yeah. All right, Bob. What do we got here for Bruja?
Chansalazzo Survivor, Pina. Quinapa Lychee. This is also listed as a New England Hazy IPA. It comes in at 6%. It has been logged in a total of 10 times.
Wow.
An Isla IPA made with pineapple, quinapa, which I hope I'm pronouncing right, which is a Spanish lime, and lychee fruits. The flavor profile is lychee, flat, and stone fruit.
You did better than I would have done with it, Bob. I would have butchered that.
There's like a grandma throwing a sandal.
Oh. Wait, I'm not done. I actually was in a conversation.
So that's the chancla, a sandal, or a flip-flop.
Yeah.
So you survived your mom throwing flip-flops at you.
Fun fact. My mom was a monster with a shoe.
It's got like the numbers in the back that reminds me of
Matrix,
yeah.
You got to be the Matrix to avoid the shoes. I think that's what they're going for. It's supposed to. So this is cool, man. I would appear that this is a very. Is there a write up on Untappd about this brewery? I'm gonna look that up real quick while you guys are pulling this up. Because kind of like when Andy brought the beer from the Redbeard place, and the whole it kind of leans into a culture, or leans into a story, or leans into a person. This is kind of cool. It's very Spanish orientated.
On that one.
Yeah, Bruja Brewing Company, founded in Springfield, Massachusetts in 2020. So this is a pandemic brewery committed to producing high quality craft beers and spirits. And they make spirits too. Our intention is to capture many cultures and historic of the Caribbean community, all while reconnecting to the Afro-Indigenous roots. The attention of the uniqueness is the island cultures, and the use of ingredients is native to these islands. Enhanced appreciation of distinctive and authentic tastes that are brought to life by our selections of brujas, witches, or brews. Yeah. So this is kind of taking a bunch of different cultures and smashing them together, and they use that heavily in their product, which is really fucking cool. I'm into that. Too bad they're so far away. Yeah, I'm really, really into that. I think that's super cool. And this is pretty wild. So they only have 3 beers they've ever made. That can't be right, right?
That's all I saw.
Yeah, they've only made 3 beers.
Don't love that.
And we've had two of them. Tell you what, for brand new, the 2 beers that we've had here today, out of the 3 they've made total in a year. So they're not really like Pilgrim. Within a year already, their first brewing company, they've had a ton.
They have at least 1 or 2 new beers a week.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, Pilgrim was on there as a home brewer for a long time,
too. That's very true. So, yeah, we don't know the background of this. But, I mean, maybe they take more time into making their beers because they're still learning and they're trying to figure things out. I don't know. If the brewers are watching this, we tag you. And if you're watching this, let us know. We'd love to have you on and talk to you. That goes for Drunken Rabbit as well. We always try to talk to the brewers, and we open the doors by trying your beers. And if you want to come on via Zoom call and talk to us, we're down. But I will say this, out of the 2 beers, I mean, I haven't tried this one yet. Maybe I should
like it.
Hold my reserve here.
I like the first one better.
They're both solid. They're both solid beers. That's really cool.
As I said, it was on the bottle and can list. I had never heard of the brewery before, so they actually had all 3 on the list, but the third one was sold out, so I couldn't get one. But
yeah, I like the fact that they're mixing cultures and stuff.
It ended up being a good pick.
Yeah, that was a very good pick. I'm gonna try to type this in on Untappd and find it here. This is a title and a half. The Pina. I'm not even gonna try because I'm gonna
just go for Bruja.
I'm gonna say something. Good call. There's only 3 to find. I was already on that fucking whole thing.
or go to friends and look for me and Bill.
Yep. All right. What are you thinking of this beer? We'll start for you.
Me?
Yeah.
I like it. Again, a little bit of the pineapple. I get the lychee. The lime is definitely there underneath it. It's still light bodied. It doesn't weigh it down.
What is a lychee?
It's a smaller citrus fruit. It looks kind of like
unpeeled grape.
Yeah, it's a smaller citrus fruit. It's not as common. I'm trying to remember where they're from originally.
It was like Asia.
I always say it tastes like a floral apple, if that makes sense. Like it has that like it's citrusy, but it still has like a crispness to it of like an apple or something as well. But that might just be my taste buds.
I'm looking up right now, lychee.
Oh, that's what I was. Yeah.
Oh, they look like they look like unshaved nuts. like a spiky strawberry.
Yeah.
I've never seen them like not peeled.
Is it a stone fruit technically?
Well, there also is stone fruit in this too, right? That's the ingredient.
It says evergreen tree.
Southeast Asia.
Berry family.
Well, maybe I was wrong about it being citrus then.
Interesting. Well, that's another cool thing. Every time you're out, you try to find like different fruit that actually bring on. What did we have last time? The dried version of
the jackfruit.
Jackfruit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I ate the whole thing after you guys left. Yeah,
she housed it. It was good, wasn't it?
It was pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, but that's the thing. Like I said before, I was in international supermarkets twice where they actually had, but like the smallest jackfruit was 10 pounds.
Yeah.
And
it's a baby.
Yeah, but it's
a big baby.
So that was, it might not have been quite as good as a fresh fruit, but it was better than lugging a bowling ball around for a week or
absolutely
whatever.
All right, well let's get into our beer of the night. So we're head-to-head competition between Bruja and Drunken Rabbit. I will say this, both breweries really cool. The Mule Kick is the most interesting out of the bunch. I will say that right off the bat. That is a novelty specialty beer. It's crazy. That was the rest of the Marcano ones you've probably experienced before with the Oktoberfest, the fruited style, like the fruited IPAs. But we'll start with Heidi as a non-beer drinker. If you had to drink a beer out of these four, now for full transparency, Heidi is not a beer drinker whatsoever. Does not drink. Does not do anything. So she's just going by. So this is, I'm interested to hear what you would say. You had to pick your beer of the night out of these four.
I would probably go with the ginger one.
Sip
it like on ice because it doesn't have that beer taste.
Okay, there you go.
Everything
Bill.
Else had a beer taste.
I'm gonna go with the Oktoberfest.
I think we're gonna have a tie here.
I love the ginger beer. I still by far my best of the bunch.
I'm gonna go Oktoberfest. So we're gonna have. I'm a sucker for Oktoberfest. I love that time of the year. That's my favorite. But so the beer of the night is going to be a two-way tie between Oktoberfest and Mule Kick. Now for part two, what I would say my second favorite would be is going to be the Spanish Fly. That one smelled fantastic. Tasted really good.
I'd go for that too. Yeah.
Me too.
All right, so there's our beer of the night. Will be a tie between both Drunken Rabbits, and then Bruja Brewing Company is going to take home second, and I would guess third with both of their beers. But I will say this, for only having three beers on their lineup, I'm interested in hearing, like they said, they have spirits and stuff.
But there's no stinkers on this table.
Not at all. No. Not any mm-hmm. these. None of these beers are like I wouldn't have again. Even the Mule, I would say for me, the last place one for me just would be the Mule Kick because it's so out off the wall different. And it'd be something that I would be like, I'm glad I tried it, but I wouldn't go back to it, if that makes any sense. Just because I'm not a huge ginger fan and there's a lot going on. Like, you got to be prepared for that.
You know what I mean? Speaking of that, I didn't put anything else in the glass I had that in. So this has been out here for what, like a good close to half an hour?
Yeah.
I didn't put anything else in mine either because it's a real strong flavor.
Everybody else.
I just put water in my Mule Kick.
Is it
going to
be real spicy? I'm afraid.
See how much pepper came out.
I left a little bit of my glass for the.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't put anything else in just because it was very strong.
I can't. It's so tough on the nose for me. It has like that sulfury
fart nose, and then just
dirty drink yours.
Yeah.
Big difference.
Yep. Yeah, there's more like.
All right, so
yeah,
when it's warmer, it's less ginger and more peppery.
Yeah, for sure.
It's actually way better warmer.
I can feel the warm going down my throat.
Yeah, the heat of the pepper.
The pepper is definitely stronger.
Pineapple's a little muted. It almost drinks like a cayenne pepper seltzer at this point. Like, because I think the pepper when it gets warmer, mixes with the ginger a lot better, so it's not that gingery, it's more of the pepper. Yeah, that's a great call, but I actually like it better warmer as well.
That's good. That's a cool beer. It's a fun beer. Bob, what are you wearing today, t-shirt wise? What do you got to plug?
Catamount Brewery. This was our first stop in Vermont when we crossed over from New Hampshire. I'm going to mess up the name of the, but I will skip the name of the place, but if you look on your Untappd or on Google Maps, it shows that it's Harpoon or the UFO Brewery.
A UFO brewery.
UFO is like a sub brand under Harpoon.
Oh, okay.
They tend to be Hefeweizens that have different flavors, but this makes it really good. It was they had Harpoon beers, they had the UFO series, they had the Catamount beer. I think there was two separate series of seltzers that they carried, and on top of that, right across the parking lot was a distillery.
Did you bring home any Catamount? Just thinking, because you had like
there might be a can of their anniversary IPA yet, because I have some stragglers that I'll bring in as like sidebars
from the
main brewery. But I know I brought some home. I can't remember if it was a single can or a four pack.
Yeah, so we are sitting on a few episodes that from a few weeks ago, because we normally do one live, and then after we get done recording live, we do a second episode that we shoot and then put up later. So we're still sitting on a North Brewing Company and Friends. So it's a little collaboration episode with different brews. We're sitting on a Trogues episode. There's still the last Patreon episode, number 10, that we haven't released. I don't even remember that one. So we do have a second episode we are going to record today. It's going to be coming out. So be on the lookout for that. What breweries are on that one? It's four of the same ones, the normal size cans, and then two.
Queen City.
Okay.
I think it was 3 12-ounce cans from that, and then the sidebar beers were one from Outlaw Brewing in New Hampshire, and I can't remember now. I'd have to look at the picture.
That's all right. What are you wearing today? What do you got to plug?
I'm assuming the next three people are wearing the same company. And it's Fright Rag. Yeah.
Actually, I don't know what mine.
No, yours is from Spirit of Halloween.
Yeah.
I got the on my Halloween dad hat. I got on a Joe Bob Briggs style shirt, like Sergeant Pepper's. Only in
is that
the
Tammy
background.
The T-Rex on there?
Yeah.
So only in the background, it's all like kind of like.
Different
the,
horror movies.
The type of horror movies.
So
that
I
he
see.
Would show.
I see a Cannibal Holocaust. I see Tammy and the T-Rex.
Hills Have Eyes.
I can't.
That's what was the one you were talking about? It looks like.
Which
zombie
one?
Nazis. That's what he looks like. Anyway.
Nazi zombies.
I don't know if that's what he is, but
I'm not sure. That's pretty wild, though. It's pretty cool.
That's a cool one.
Yeah.
Sleepaway camp.
What does Joe Bob do? Does he review movies?
No, he'll just kind of like host a show, and it's actually also on Shudder. Mm. So he'll do little interstitials in between the movie. So when it would go to like a commercial break, it's just him talking about like behind the scenes stuff for the movie, or like
such a
like
lost
facts
art.
About them
should,
and that kind of stuff.
Back.
Sometimes he's guests, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like
I haven't really seen a lot, but I saw a couple.
Like TNT is getting really, really good at putting movies on television,
yeah.
Like, and really decent movies. Like, now obviously you're gonna get them censored and stuff like that, but like, I feel like if you have a streaming service, so like Peacock or Hulu,
well, because I think with Joe Bob originally he was on TNT back in the day on like a Friday, like later Friday nights, later Saturday yeah. nights, he would pick like and curate like odd off the wall horror movies mm-hmm. and he would show them on there and then he'd talk about them.
Yeah. I just think it's a lost art where it happens in TV and radio where they just kind of put something on it. It's set to premiere and there's no passion to it. There's like, I kind of like, it's kind of when I do this podcast, I know it's stressful. It's hard. I have to manage six things at once with the chat and everything like that. But I feel that live interactive thing is important. And I think it's cool to have where instead of just setting it and forget it, like, and now I'm saying this as we're going to have a set and forget it episode next week. But I just think that going to commercial break and paying someone to be like, hey, while you're on commercial, check this out here. Now we're back to the movie. I like that. Like the Elvira thing, the Joe Bob thing. Like I always thought that was a cool idea.
I'd rather that than like, actual commercials.
Like a radio, like a lot of radio you listen to is not even live anymore. They just like do their like, hey, coming up next is going to be this song. Have a great day. And then it plays. And then they're not even in studio anymore. They set it for a week, play that playlist for a week, and then they may come into work and just record it again, which I understand budget costs.
Some of them times are working, come home still.
Times are tough, but it's just like it kind of loses that luster for me. Mm-hmm. I like that. Be there, talk to your audience, engage, like let's have a good time, like call in, request a song. Like you can't even, like, it's hard to request a song if you're not actually in the studio. I just think that's a lost art, you know. But yeah, it's a cool shirt. Heidi, what do you got?
Halloween.
You're wearing the Halloween. You got that from
Spirit of Halloween.
Yeah,
and I don't know who makes it though.
Yeah, I forget the brand of that shirt, but they're really cool. Anything you want to plug? I know I always say you're getting better with the local community and finding different things and cool things to put over.
Can't think of anything. Not cool in high school.
Thank you. Heather's like, oh, I have nothing to plug. I'm like, you're on 300 shows. Yeah, not cool in high school. You can check out Heidi. Our last episode was Halloween Kills. Mm-hmm. We tried to have the Iron Maiden Heidenfield on. She had some connection issues and then got a little sick. So we are rescheduling that. That is going to be happening. So we just got to set that up. She's like, oh, we'll just do it tomorrow. I was like, nah, sorry. Unfortunately, I got other things going on. I can't just drop things. Unfortunately, she's really cool, but it's just tough. But we'll get her on. Cool. We don't even have a topic for next that one yet. But then we just came up with our topic for Truth Behind Illusion, which is going to happen Sunday. Or I mean, it's not a Sunday. Tuesday. It's going to be the Fae, not Heidi's mom, but the Fae, which is like a
like fairies,
like fairies, gnomes, goblins, and stuff like that.
Little creatures.
I guess the Fae,
the wee folk.
Yes. So it's a lot of cool stuff there. I don't know much. I knew about the idea of these characters, but are these characters, sorry, creatures, because they're 100% real. But I guess the Fae is the ultra dimension they live in before they come to our universe or dimension and cause havoc. They just like go through like a Tom and Jerry hole in the wall, come in, steal your spoons, and then dip your spoons and your left socks.
Only the left socks.
Yep.
How do you know which one's left?
I know.
You don't, but they know. Oh, okay. They're like, that's the left one.
You have to match.
That's the one he always puts on his left foot. I know it.
Big toe hole.
Yeah. Or that's what they do too. They if they can't steal it, they chew a hole in it and then they.
That's leave. Where those holes. Yeah.
Are. Fucking bastards.
Where's the little ones? The what was it, that movie when we were kids? Elves and the Shoemaker.
I never
remember that. A little cartoon movie. I don't know. It was like this shoemaker guy, and he had like little elves, and he didn't know that they were there at first. And then overnight, like he was trying to make his shoes and stuff. And then overnight, they would come in, like make all of the shoes, like real cool. And then he found them. So he made them little outfits.
Jesus. I'm thinking I'm kind of remembering this now.
You know what movie fucked me up as a kid, and then I watched it as old. I'm like, why did this get popular? Remember the Indian and Cupboard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the dumbest.
I remember watching that in grade school and thinking, like, why are we watching this?
I was like, this is stupid, this is right? Am I the only one who thinks this is dumb?
Yeah. 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 It's like you're like 10 years old in the classroom just looking around at everyone being like, are we enjoying this?
Remember when they used to like put like a movie on like during like cafeteria? Like they just like kids just like sit there and watch.
Our movie, for whatever reason, every Christmas, we would watch Cool Runnings.
Cool Running?
Yes. I don't know why.
They're trying to diversify
this movie.
They did the Polar Express once. They took us all to the auditorium and we watched the Polar Express.
But you watched that? That happened in high school.
It was like.
No, don't say no, it wasn't Polar Express. Oh, you're right, Polar Express. No, the train, it wasn't. You weren't in seventh grade.
When did it come out?
Tom Hanks one.
I worked in the movie theater when that was, and you're not that much younger than me. I worked in the theater when that movie dropped.
I don't know, but it was like somewhere seventh, eighth, or ninth grade.
You're moving up higher up every right year.
It was senior year. I don't know.
I might have been out of high school.
Yeah, because I worked in the theater and I just remember like wanting to kill myself because it would just be like hot chocolate.
It was 2004.
So I was in 11th grade.
Maybe it was like 9th grade.
Yeah, I was in 11th grade. So holy shit, I worked in the movie theater while I was still in high school. I did.
That's the only one, right? The Tom Hanks one?
Yeah. Yeah, I hated cleaning the theater after because it would play all the music and I thought it was awful. It's terrible.
I did the Polar Express train. That was fun.
No, No thanks. All right, that'll do it. Bang and Beers podcast. Thank you guys so much. Remember, if you got this far, screenshot this if you're listening to it. Leave a review on Apple if you're on that platform. Follow us on all social media. We have a lot of cool stuff coming up. We have a lot of episodes in the bank. If you guys are like, hey, drop one on a Thursday or a Wednesday, we'll give you an extra episode. It just ask for it and you shall receive. Just show some kind of engagement. Let us know you're still there. You care. It helps. That's all we got. Thank you guys so much. We love you. Enjoy your Halloween. Stay safe. Hand candy out.
Eat lots of candy.
Don't put razor blades in kids' candy. That's messed up. Give the parents booze and edibles. It'll be a great time.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys next time. We're out of here.